Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap & Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Cap & Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
To Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Brian Hanley, sitting in for David Kaplan today. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. And Brian, there is so much going on. The Hawks last night, we haven't even gotten to the Cubs, who are the best team in baseball. Yu Darvish, fantastic once again last night. So much going on in the Bears starting training camp.
Yeah, when you look at the Cubs, 13-3. I mean, they're in the playoffs already, right? Assuming that we get to the playoffs, and,
yeah.
Unless they're playing six consecutive doubleheaders against the Cardinals in a week, it's been outstanding. Yeah, we got to get to Anthony Rizzo's thoughts about, you know, is this the last hurrah for the Cubs core? And really, you know, is that Chris Bryant and Javi and Anthony Rizzo and, you know, Schwarbs? Who's in that core?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that. A lot to get to, and. If you have yet to hear, Jim Boylan fired by the Chicago Bulls this morning. So the Bulls are now having a coaching search. They'll find the next coach that will lead this team into the future for the Chicago Bulls. Let's talk with Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune. He's their Bears reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wiederer. Dan, we were just listening to Allen Robinson talk about the quarterback competition. What's your vibe of this quarterback competition heading into the start of camp so far?
My vibe is there is no vibe because it hasn't really started yet, right? They first started throwing passes the middle of this week. You know, we're in the middle of August, and this quarterback competition that they envisioned back in February has looked nothing like they envisioned it. And so now you've got this very abbreviated time period to get it started and finished, right? And get your team ready to play a football game on September 13th in Detroit. And so we'll get our first eyes on it on Monday when we are invited back to Halas Hall for the first time in 2020. I can tell you as a beat guy, there is just an overflowing amount of eagerness to actually see things with your own eyes, to actually see things developing and progressing. And obviously that's going to be the top of the list in terms of what you're watching, because you need to get a feel for which quarterback is in the pole position to take this team into the regular season.
Well, Dan, who does that abbreviated evaluation benefit, if anybody? Is that Nick Foles, or is that the tried and true of Mitch Trubisky? We'll start with him because we'll see how that goes, even though we didn't pick up his fifth year option. Or do you get the new guy you're paying big money to just jump in there?
We'll see. And that's what we have to wait to do, is actually see with our own eyes, because I think there is something to the Trubisky line of thinking, and just in terms of the continuity that he has with his offensive playmakers. But that rapport means nothing if that rapport results in passes that are thrown 6 yards over a receiver's head or not on time or not to the right place. Rapport with receivers goes out the window really quickly if that's what continues to happen in practice settings. Foles, meanwhile, has this familiarity with this offense and this, you know, veteran experience that should help him acclimate more quickly. But Nick Foles is still learning the names of the guys that he's in the huddle with, right? And so there's this period here where the Bears coaches can have all the assumptions they want about how quickly this transition will go for Nick Foles, but until it actually is demonstrated on the field in practice situations, we have no idea. And so I know this coaching staff has been very, very emphatic about emphasizing that they want to be very situational with how they structure this competition. There's going to be a lot of third down work, a lot of 2-minute action, a lot of red zone work, and they just want to have a feel for who's the guy that is most efficient, making the right decisions, getting the ball where it needs to go on time, and then also just that general feeling on which guy is lifting the play of the others around him. We know, obviously, a year ago that wasn't something that Mitch Trubisky did here in Chicago. And so if he can't prove that, it's going to be really quickly and an easy decision for this coaching staff to change gears.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune joining Chris Bleck and Brian Hanley here on ESPN 1000 in for David Kaplan today. So Allen Robinson spoke today, and he talked about Mitch once again The part of a young player trying to come into his own in the NFL is being able to take the mental aspect of the game and then on the field, being able to do what he took from the sidelines and implement it on the field. And it was mentioned once again that maybe things were moving too quickly for Mitch. Is this something that's always going to plague Mitchell Trubisky, or is this something that Mitch can really work on in the offseason, and then we see improvement once he gets on the practice field?
You can't work on it in the offseason because you don't have the luxury of going against defense, right? And if your problem and your handicap for the last stretch of your career has been an inability to decipher what the defense is showing you, an inability to react quick enough to get the ball where it needs to go within the design of the play, you can't really test those things running routes with receivers at a local high school in the summer. You need to test those in practice settings against a really good defense like the Bears will challenge Mitch with for the next 3 weeks. And it'll be there that the Bears coaching staff can gauge and assess, okay, there has been progress made here. There are some things that we can tap into that we couldn't tap into a year ago. This is moving in the right direction. Or, oh, brother, this looks exactly like it did last training camp. We know how that turned out. We know how frustration became, real life disappointment for the stretch of 4 months of a regular season. We can't afford to go down that path again. And so now it is all about trying to learn all of those things in this time window that is really, really, really short, with the coaching staff obviously wanting to make that decision with enough time to start to put in a game plan for the Lions game.
You know, Dan, I hear people talk about the Bears having Super Bowl aspirations and think they can contend. And I get that teams in the NFL go from worst to first. But two-part question, is this defense good enough to carry an offense that might, take a couple weeks if that longer gets legs underneath it? And two, how do you replace? How do you do that without Eddie Goldman?
So the defense at full strength is certainly worthy of having the aspirations that you mentioned. They are every bit that good. If Akeem Hicks returns healthy, if you get the pass rush that you expect to get with Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, if you get this ascension from Roquan Smith in his third season, if you continue to get standout play on the back end from Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson, if you get some contributions from some other role guys, you can hear all the names I'm rattling off. This defense has every reason to think that it can sort of return towards the 2018 levels. You got to get those sack totals back up. You got to get those takeaway totals back up, and you've got to be able to dominate games that they did on a consistent basis 2 years ago. Now, if you're going to have any conversation about being a team that, number one, let's check the box of getting into the playoffs first. Number two, let's check the box of winning one playoff game in a decade, and then we can start having these talks about Super Bowl. You're going to need your offense to help at some point. And the thing that I keep coming back to every time I feel this surge of optimism about what the Bears have in place is the offense never does its job on a consistent basis to allow that optimism to turn into anything in reality. The offense last year failed to reach 21 points in 12 of 16 games. In 2019 in the NFL, that's absolutely unacceptable, and it's the reason that season went down the toilet bowl pretty quickly last year. And so you need to get your offense to be able to carry the defense in some weeks. You got to allow the defense to have a clunker and your offense say, don't worry about it. We're going to get you 34 and we're going to walk out of here with a win today. That hasn't happened. It's got to happen soon. Otherwise, all this talk is just, sort of this revolving door where you just keep going in circles and circles and circles.
Oh, Dan, come on. Statistics. You know that that's just hater conversation, hater talk there.
feel free to score in the first half.
Yeah, first half or maybe, 24 to 28 points per game. I mean, isn't, like, if you look at the midway point in the league, isn't the league average like 25 points per game?
I mean, this is what I mean. It's not a extreme ask to say, hey, guys, get us 21, right? And some weeks, get us 31.
Right.
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks in a row, get us 27.
Take a lead. Just pull from a lead.
honestly, and that's such a big part of this equation. Now, to just kind of offset the Debbie Downer vibe a little bit, I do think this offense can make major strides if every single position group just makes moderate strides, right? And so you take quarterback play that's a little bit better. You take a running game that they're more committed to and that they've overhauled in a way that fits Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor's vision. If you take the tight end group and you get this upgrade in personnel that you think you got with Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, if Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson and the rest of that receiving core continues to ascend, if you get an offensive line that has some stability, you don't have to do a lot at every single position to make a major leap. And a major leap would be going from being a bottom five offense, which they were a year ago, to, okay, now we're around the middle half. All of a sudden, you're a pretty good football team with the defense you bring to the table. And so if you look at it through that lens, you can have a little bit of that August hope sitting there for you to pounce on.
You know, Dan, I loved your piece on the 10 days last October when the confidence was really shaken by when it came to Mitch by the people inside House Hall. And Matt Nagy, you know, Mr. Offense, Mr. I got 1,000 plays I can use, you know, he got gun shy. And he, you know, he all of a sudden was taking knees and why am I going to, you know, miss a field goal because I'm trying to get extra yard? How much of this offense is going to be better because he has more confidence in it?
Well, you have to have confidence in the quarterback first and foremost. And that was really what happened last year that was so demoralizing for everyone is they lost trust in the franchise quarterback, right? They lost trust that he would make right decisions and not lose games for them. That Chargers loss was as painful of a loss as you're ever going to experience in the NFL because it was a gimme must-have home win against a wounded opponent on the road, and you controlled much of that game. And then in the fourth quarter, your starting quarterback turned the ball over twice, missed a 58-yard touchdown pass to an open receiver down the middle of the field, and you walked out of there with the most hollow feeling that an NFL team can have. Not only was your losing streak, you know, extending, but you had this sudden extreme doubt in whether the offense was ever going to find answers. And so it all starts with having trust in that quarterback position and confidence in that quarterback position. And that's where when you talk to people around the league with Nick Foles, and obviously he's got familiarity with his staff, with Matt Nagy, with Bill Lazor, with John DeFilippo, there's this belief that Nick has this ability to get trust from those around him because he trusts the system. He trusts his playmakers. He trusts himself to play within himself. And all of a sudden, there's this calming effect that occurs. And I think the Bears are hoping that occurs sooner rather than later and that they can go full steam ahead and say, all right, control this for us, and we won't lose those games like we did a year ago, the ones you mentioned, obviously, to the Chargers and the Saints, which came at a pivotal point of the year where that Bears team could have rescued its season, and instead they went the other direction and never could get out of the hole they dug for themselves. And so that's a long answer to your question, but it has to start with trust in the quarterback.
Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune joining us, Brian Hanley and Chris Black here on ESPN 1000. I'm glad that Brian asked that question because from an outsider's perspective, it felt like last year after the Chargers game and after the Eagles game that like the defense and the rest of the team, they were all out on Mitch because he couldn't get it done. So if I ask you this question, Dan, if you have to make a quarterback change this season, which is something we don't want to see, you never go into a season hoping for a quarterback change midseason. If the Bears do have to do that, what is the best way to kind of go about that? Would it be starting Nick Foles and then it doesn't work out and then you go to Trubisky? Or is it giving Trubisky one last shot and then bringing in Nick Foles? Which way do you think would be the better way if you have to have a quarterback change midseason?
Here's the best way to go about that, Chris. It's to not even have that discussion internally at House Hall because it's a loser's mindset. And if you start setting yourself up for, okay, what's our better plan B once we fail, you're already halfway down the road to failing, right? And so it's not a good mindset to have. What they want to do is see in these next 3 weeks of practice which quarterback generates the confidence and the optimism and the belief not only in the coaching staff, but in those other guys in the offense, in the defense as well, as you mentioned, so you don't lose the guys on that side of the ball. Whoever is bringing that to the table on a consistent basis at every practice is the guy that needs to start for you on opening week. You can't say, oh, well, we could start Mitch because it'll be less devastating if we have to bench him because our fallback plan can then come in. Look, you better have confidence in one of those guys, and if you don't have confidence in either and you start playing this game of what would be the better way to go about, you know, breaking our fall when we fall off the roof, then you're in big, big trouble.
And I'll take that scenario that you don't want to consider even a step further. If Mitch came in, say he did start Foles in the season and he was not getting it done, and then Mitch comes in with less pressure on him because maybe you're 1-4 or whatever, and is that fool's gold if he starts putting up points and, you know, he's just kind of playing fast and loose because, you know, who knows where the season's going? It's not going in the right direction. Then do you fall in love with Mitch again?
Yeah, potentially, right? And so, right. Yeah, I mean, you have to get your franchise out of this constant tires in the mud process that they're in at this position. It's happened for 30 plus years now. They think they have an answer until they don't have an answer, and then they've got a new answer, and then they don't have an answer. And eventually you have to find an answer. Otherwise you only make the playoffs every 5 years. You don't win a playoff game in an entire decade, and you're just stuck sort of celebrating these weird flash in the pan successes like they've had every once in a while with a playoff year. You've got to find some stability and consistency at that position. It's the reason they're in the predicament they are in right now, as other teams like the Chiefs, by the way, are sort of set for the long haul. And so you got to figure it out. I think it is important to note that when you look at that offensive side of the ball and you look at guys that can really help this offense take a leap here, and you point at guys like David Montgomery or Anthony Miller, to some extent Jimmy Graham. These are guys that are going to have to help whoever starts at quarterback raise their level of play as well. And you can have success if you get the production and the breakthroughs that you've expected out of players that you've invested a lot in the draft or free agency, to have the production that you expect them to have.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it, even though I think you just called me a loser.
Chris, I just don't want you to get stuck in that loser's mentality, right, particularly here in August.
My money's on Adam Shaheen.
Right, right.
Until mid-September, and then you can ask all those failure-oriented questions, and we can go from there.
And you know how it works on this show. It's not going to end well for me or you or anyone else, right?
No, I do know how it works there. I got an angry text message from Cap yesterday for bringing up a 2019 conversation on the air with Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, geez.
Chris, you were a part of that conversation a year ago, Chris, so I'll talk to you off air. We can send you the audio, and we can relive it all over again.
Hey, you wrote a 5,000-word piece on the guy.
I know.
Come on.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Enjoy your weekend, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Brian, I think that may be in reference to banned audio that I was not allowed to play, but you know what? Cap's not here today.
That's right.
It's his final
school's
show.
Out. It's recess. Huh.
Maybe we can figure something out before noon on that one. We will continue to take your calls here on the Bears and on the Bulls. News today, Jim Boylan fired.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch
at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hanley, Chris Blexing in for David Kaplan here on Cap and Company. And the news this morning, the Chicago Bulls fired Jim Boylan. They are now searching for a new head coach of the Chicago Bulls. Now on ESPN.com, Bobby Marks has a column, Brian, where he talks about now that Jim Boylan is out, the Bulls, not only do they have a major decision for the next head coach, they'll have a top pick coming up in the NBA draft, but also they should once again be in line to try and land free agents in the upcoming free agent classes. They may not have a whole lot of cap space in this season, but after the 2021 season, when there are some names like Giannis Antetokounmpo out there on the market, the Bulls should be in play going forward.
Well, I was trying to figure out, one of the guys tweeted us at Chris Black at Brian Hanley 534 and said if they go ahead and win the lottery, he's got to have a cigarette this week. So we'll see. But yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. But believe me, I know it would have been bad form to go to have a leak out that you're already doing a coach search when Jim Boylan was still employed. But you can't tell me that Arturis and his staff weren't doing their due diligence and their homework and whittling down whatever list they have to a short list in the last month or so, because the handwriting was well on the wall at that point, Chris. So, you know, they wanted to do this the right way, but if they truly have been evaluating Jim Boylan at this point, then I already have some concerns.
We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Adam in the Virgin Islands is listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Adam?
Hey, good afternoon. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
All right, great. First of all, thanks for having me on the call. Number two, I hope you guys are staying safe with everything that's going on. But then I have to start to disagree with some of the comments you've already made with regards to the Bulls. Actually, let's start with Zach LaVine. I don't really realize why there's such lack of support for somebody with as much talent as this kid has. And I want to ask you a question, kind of knowing where the answer may go. When is the last time we had somebody with the potential of his craft in basketball in Chicago that you can remember? And I'm not talking about, let's not talk about Jordan and Pippen, because I think you guys may even be too young for to have the hangover from that regime of Bulls basketball. So let's just push that aside.
You need a name? Jimmy Butler.
Right. That's a good one.
How about Derrick Rose?
Zach and Jimmy are the same player, but I was hoping you were going to go to Derrick Rose. Because my question
but you
becomes,
said potential.
Derrick Rose
potential.
Are the MVP.
Yeah.
And you can hang up on me off the bat. Zach is better at everything Derrick Rose did and things that he couldn't do than Derrick Rose was.
They're different players.
But what's the difference in the support?
Well, yeah, it's apples and oranges. I said Zach LaVine's a very good player. He's a star. He's being paid like a superstar because of the circumstance here with the Bulls. He is not going to be an MVP in my lifetime, your lifetime, or anyone else's lifetime. And he's, to my way of thinking, he's a guy who could be on a championship team and be a part of it, but he's not a guy you build a championship team around and make him the guy. He's just not.
I'm understanding that, but I'm wondering, what are your criteria that you're using? Because if we could look at Derrick Rose, which I actually shouldn't include myself in it, but if we could look at the society of basketball could look at Derrick Rose and say, oh, yeah, this guy is good enough by what he does to be an MVP, but yet I didn't hear you disagree with saying that Zach does everything that Derrick did better than Derrick did. Plus, he shoots better than Derrick, he's longer than Derrick, and has more of ability to be able to be taught defense because, you know, as we know, Derrick ain't guarding nobody.
And Zach doesn't really want to guard anybody. He just did it because Boylan will, you know, get off his rear end if he didn't. They're different players, so I don't know how you compare the two. They're different eras. They're, as you said, different support casts as well. And I covered, you know, the try-hard Bulls and all those guys. When you have a team, and that was – and thanks for your call.
Hold on. Adam, yeah. I'm confused. Is the point of the call that Zach LaVine's a better player than Derrick Rose?
No, my point of this part was that Zach keeps getting the name that he can't build a team around him, and I think
What have the Bulls won with him as a best player on the team? He's been the best player on the team for 3 years. What have they won? They're a terrible team.
But the question is, the last time the Bulls were in contention,
yeah, they had Jimmy Butler, who's a good player, top 15 player.
But Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose weren't the difference maker. The difference. And I could,
Jimmy Butler was drafted.
Who's the difference maker? Nate Robinson?
I won't hold you more than after saying this. If you did nothing else on the last team for the Bulls that made the playoff, and this team that you consider whatever you wanted to, you did nothing else other than making the change from the coach that coached that team to the two coaches that coached the team afterward, the team would be back in the playoff with making no differences in their personnel.
I'm not going to argue the point. They have a lot more to do than hire a head coach and say we're good to go for the playoffs. Here's the thing with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler made himself into a star player in this league, and Tibbs helped him along the way. And by the way, at Marquette, he had Tibbs Jr. and Buzz Williams, who got every ounce of talent out of Jimmy Butler. So he knew it was the same type of coach. They were the same DNA. Buzz and Tibbs are the same guy, and Jimmy responds to that. You know, they have to get free agents who want to come here who are legitimate star players. You have to get the top free agent who's available. If that's you have to make this an attractive destination. The Bulls haven't done that since the Jordan era. So, you know, again, I'll go back in the immediate aftermath of Jordan. No one wanted to play here because they couldn't live up to Jordan's reputation and legacy. Now it's just no one wants to come here because the Bulls stink and have stunk for a long time. So
what would be the problem with your other big objection, which was actually the thing that made me dial the button, was Jay Williams had asked the question or brought up the name Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for years. Now, the only issue I have at all with Mark Jackson is I think he's starting to get into he's being long in the tooth with a group of coaches that probably the league may be passing by. But as far as developing players and getting teams, I would say just look at his last resume. He had problems with the organization, but so did Tibbs. But yet they took their players from point A to point C, which is what we're looking to do right now, isn't it? And thank you for letting me in.
Thank you for the time, Matt. Sorry, Brian. I had to jump in there because I wasn't quite sure what the objective there was, because Zach LaVine is in no way what Derrick Rose was to this franchise. No. And if you really want to get into it, people want to point to points per game. I get that. Look at the points per game list in the NBA. You tell me which players who are at the top of the list who are not involved in the playoffs. You have Bradley Beal. Their team was at least invited down to the bubble. They were trash, but at least they were there. He was second in the league in scoring. Outside of that, the list is littered with names who are participating in the playoffs. Devin Booker's the only other name that you see, and they just won 8 in a row in the bubble. They were at least invited. Here's the deal. For all the people who want to stick up for Zach LaVine, the reason the Bulls are trash is because he's their best player. If he was their second or third best player, they would probably be a lot better off, and they would make the playoffs.
And that's not his fault.
Listen, if he was a better player, they would win more games. And people only want to look at points per game, but the NBA is a two-end game. You have to play defense, and a lot of the defensive issues with this team come from the fact that Zach LaVine consistently gets lost in team defense concepts. That's a problem.
Chris, it was the Derrick Rose draft, right? The Bulls, they had less than a 2% chance to win the lottery, and they defied those odds. Everyone knew who was going to be selected number one, right? And it wasn't Beasley. I mean, that was a year before that. And, you know, there was talk that he was the guy. And obviously, you know, he went off the rails. But Zach LaVine was never held in that esteem. And outside Chicago is still, I mean, he's a very good player. He's being paid like a superstar. He can put points up. And if you get some structure and better talent around him, I'm all interested in watching his development. But he is not one of the top 10 or 15 players in the league. He's just not.
Absolutely. And it's ridiculous to suggest that this team hasn't had someone like that since Jordan, because Jimmy Butler was here. Derrick Rose was here. So, all right, we'll take more of your Bulls calls. Hanley and Black in for Cap.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
The ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite is back, and in 2020 fashion, virtual and exclusive. On August 27th, the only way to enter is to go to one of the 10 participating locations to get the text to win code. Now through August 23rd, go to Anthony's Restaurant and Pub in Joliet to find your text to win code. Get the code and enjoy some pizza and ice cold Miller Lite on the patio. That's Anthony's in Joliet. You can also go to ESPNFFC.com for more details. And our Twitch feed, which you can watch the show on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago, is brought to you by Anthony's and Joliet and Miller Lite. Let's go to Rich in Naperville. You're on ESPN 1000. Chris Black, Brian Hanley, sitting in for David Kaplan today. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen? No, you guys kind of took the words out of my mouth a couple minutes ago. I hope they get rid of Zach LaVine. You're right. He'd be good on a good team. But he's selfish, and all he cares about is his stats. That's all he cares. Sure, he'd love to win, but he could care less about any of the other guys on the team. He just wants to get his stats. That's all he cares about, I believe. I don't know. What's your opinion?
I don't know if it's necessarily it's only the stats. I just think that maybe his style of play is better suited as the guy that doesn't have to facilitate everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have seen some scores, Brian, in the league take over ball handling duties, most notably James Harden. Devin Booker is now doing it. But yeah. I think that if you kind of compare Zach LaVine to a guy like a Jamal Crawford or a Lou Williams, like, his best attribute is just straight scoring the basketball. I don't know if he's the type of guy that can make sure that every offensive possession, the Bulls are getting the best opportunity to score when it's not in his hands. I don't know if he's the guy to distribute like
that. Well, Chris, I'd like to see him in a winning situation and make that evaluation. You know, when you're losing and losing pretty much every night, and there's turmoil in the locker room because the team's not, you know, buying the head coach and maybe even, you know, having an uprising against him, that leads to selfishness, whether it's conscious or not. You want to go out and get yours, and you want to put your points up. And, yeah, you might lose by 2 or 20, but you want to make sure you had a, quote-unquote, good night. I'd like to see Zach LaVine in a winning situation. I don't know if we'll see that here. But, again, I mean, it's not only Zach LaVine. It's Lauri Markkanen. You thought these two guys were two guys you could, again, build around. And Lauri Markkanen's not a player that you say is a centerpiece of a championship team either. But you need guys like that to get to a championship, right? So whenever this thing gets turned around, it'll be interesting to see if one or both are still around to be part of it. But I'm not going to bury Zach LaVine until I see him with a winning attitude from the organization and a real, you know, chance going into each game as if you were going to win that game. And then let's see what kind of player he is.
We go to Albert. He called 312-332-3776. Talking Bulls with Chris Black and Brian Hanley. What's up, Albert?
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Good, man. What do you think about the Bulls firing Jim Boylan?
I think it's an excellent move. You know, I mean, he was the best thing they could have done. But one thing I want to express is that I remember when Jimmy Butler was here, all the medias, you guys too, were all cramping for him to be shipped out of town.
Not me.
And he was, listen now. He
Albert,
was
it wasn't
out.
Me.
You see, over the years, since, you know, the way people talk, and yet the team doesn't get better, you should let them know that they ain't saying the right things. Everything they asked for had been done, and yet the team is not getting no better. And yet these same people are the ones still calling for people to be shipped out. You know, I mean, how long do you think Chicago is just going to keep going around this circle when you guys keep shipping guys out?
Yeah, Albert, I appreciate the phone call, but Chris, maybe you're talking about cap. Brian, I was on the air the night of the draft with Nick Friedell and Jonathan Hood. When that trade went down, when the Bulls sent Jimmy Butler to Minnesota, my exact statement on the air was, you don't have to do this. You have a top 15 player on your roster right now. It is difficult to find those players in the league. You don't have to remove them. You can add to this. You should build with this. You don't have to make this trade. And now we're looking down the road. We don't know if Zach LaVine is a star. Markkanen hasn't developed. And Chris Dunn is a player that you got in that trade, which is a backup point guard. So you could have kept Jimmy Butler.
And for the record, I went to Marquette. I was rooting for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That's why I just said I would like to see Zach LaVine on a winning team here, and then I can evaluate moving forward where he fits in and how good he can possibly be. When you're in a losing situation, such as the Bulls have been in forever, it seems like, bad habits settle in, and not just with Zach. I mean, it's just a bad atmosphere. I'm sure guys didn't want to go to work each day, right? And so I'm not shipping Zach LaVine out. And by the way, with that contract, I don't know how easily it would be to ship him out, quite frankly. But, you know, let's see once you get a new head coach in here, whatever that staff looks like, see what you do in the draft and see what, you know, you can do in free agency in the next couple of seasons. This isn't an overnight fix. I mean, this is easily a 3-year rebuild or tweak or whatever you want to say. I mean, you guys hit reset here, and it's not going to happen in 1 year. I mean, here's hoping it does, but I'd be shocked if it does. So we'll see it at that point where Zach is in his career and how quickly this team can turn it around.
I just mentioned Nick Friedell. He says hello to you, Brian. He just texted me.
Nick, former intern of mine, and has excelled in my career. It's not anywhere as good as his right now.
Same here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Peter in Lombard. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Peter?
Chris, I'm so disappointed in you, buddy.
I thought you knew
NBA basketball, buddy.
Oh, no. What do you got?
I know. That's the same thing I said when you said made your comment. I said, oh, no. You said that the reason why the Bulls are bad is because Zach LaVine is their number one player.
Correct.
Okay. So that's just totally wrong because even if Zach LaVine is their number one player, you need other players to step up. You need marketing who could not hit an open shot. this past season. Could not hit anything. You need to build a team. We're so quick to run guys away from this team. You can find a place for LaVine on a team, on this team, on the Bulls team. But you have to build other things around him. Don't knock LaVine because the whole team is not good. They don't have good players around him. LaVine is not a bad player. You keep on bringing up defense. Half of the players in the NBA don't play defense. Look at the bubble. These teams was averaging like 121 scores, 121, 138. James Harden is a great offensive player, but he's
hey Peter,
on
what, what's the difference there? James Harden's in the bubble. Zach LaVine's not.
Yeah, who's on his team? Who do James Harden have on his team?
Come on. Seriously.
How did Jordan win?
You're really going to stand on that hill that it's the team around Zach LaVine and that's why they're not good enough?
No, what I'm standing on that you need a team. You can't have one guy who's put up a lot of numbers and don't have a team around him. You can't have that. You just can't do it. Who else on that team, who else can you name on the Bulls team could be the second fiddle to Zach LaVine?
Well, it should be Lowry Markkanen.
No one's betting on that.
Thank you for the call, Peter. We appreciate
Chris,
it.
Both things can be true.
Yes, it can.
It's not Zach LaVine's fault that he's a number one team, a number one player on this team. That's because it's a bad team and a bad organization right now that it has to find its way.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine is a very good basketball player. He's not a superstar in my mind, but that's fine. And he can get paid like a superstar. It's not my money. That's fine, too. I would like to see him on a winning Bulls team, and then I can tell you how good he can be. But that's not a knock on Zach LaVine that he's the number one player. It's just that he's not a guy that I would say you're going to win a championship if you're just adding around him. You need to go get premier free agent. You have to get the best free agent available. You have to get the best draft available each and every year, you know, draft the best player. And then you can say, but we pretty much know what Zach is. And he can be a very productive star player on a championship team, but he's not going to be the guy on a championship team, here or anywhere else.
Brian Hanley, Chris Black, sitting in for David Kaplan today. Today is the last Cap and Company show from 9 to noon. And we can't have a Friday show on Cap and Company without talking to our great friend, Tracy Butler. Tracy's on the phone from ABC 7. She's going to give us a quick weather update. But Tracy, I don't want to cause trouble, but now that I'm not going to be joining Cap in the morning and Danny and everyone in the morning at 7 a.m. starting on Monday, I do need to kind of ask, your normal hit is in the 10 o'clock hour. Does that mean you're going to be on Carmen and Yurko going forward? You used to be on that show. Am I starting trouble here?
I don't know. I mean, it's. I would love to be fought over, you know. But I mean, come on, why not? Even though, you know, I always said if I ever get fired, it would probably be at Yurko's because of Yurko. But I love all you guys. You know that. But Chris,
yeah,
I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Just because you're moving, you know, and you're going to another time slot. Are you still going to be a part of the Mother Nature and her Wicked Sons fantasy football team?
Yes, I'm planning on it. You know why? Because you were fantastic last season with our draft, and we had a really good team.
We were a team. Not just me. It was we.
Brian, you should have heard us during the draft. Tracy and I are on speakerphone going through the different rankings on all the different websites. We really handled it like we were running our own NFL draft.
As long as you didn't have Ryan Pace on the speakerphone, too.
Tracy, weekend weather. Can I golf all day on Saturday?
You can golf all day Saturday. Now, until maybe like 3, 4 o'clock, there will be some isolated storms that develop. But I think more of us are going to be dry than wet on Saturday. It's going to be pretty humid. High temperatures closing in on 90 degrees. Unless you're going to golf at one of the courses a little closer to the lakefront, you'll get the benefit of a little bit of the lake breeze. But for all your listeners today, outstanding. You know, I know we had a rough start to the week with the weather. A lot of folks still cleaning up. A lot of your listeners still without power. And these humid days make that even more challenging, certainly. But by Sunday, I think we're going to see the humidity beginning to lower a bit. So some folks will certainly enjoy that. We'll still look at upper 80s today and tomorrow. We'll dial them down just a little bit. And then early next week, I'm kind of glad Danny isn't there because I have to bear the news, break the news to him that it's going to be a little bit of a below average start to next week, guys.
70s? Well, I think you should always golf at Cantini, one.
Yeah.
And two, I think, Tracy, you should go on with Adam and Chris from 6 until 8 and have a nightly weather hit.
Absolutely.
Okay, Brian, you know I'm pretty much in my REM sleep by 8 o'clock.
And I've been there.
You know I love Cantini. That is one of my favorite courses. I mean, when you go to that course, you feel like you're a million miles away. It's so beautiful.
Well, Tracy,
my brother appreciates that.
Well, Tracy, hope you hit them straight this weekend, and I hope that I created some friction between Carmen and Yurko and Cap and Danny and Jay Hood fighting over who gets Tracy Butler on the show weekly on Fridays.
Let the games begin, guys.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right, take care.
That's Tracy Butler from ABC7. All right, Brian, let's continue talking about the Bulls. They fired Jim Boylan earlier today. If you want to talk Bulls with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of Cap and Company is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Off today, you can hear the new morning show here on ESPN 1000 starting Monday morning. Cap and Jay Hood from 7 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000. Then Carmen and Yurko from 10 to noon. Greeny takes over from noon to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6. Black and Abdallah, 6 to 8 every night right
Who's
here.
That?
Yeah,
Who
Black and Abdallah. How about that? And Brian, we'll give you the baseball show throughout the baseball season at 6 o'clock. So we'll be talking baseball, both teams. Many nights, the opening pitch is right around 7 o'clock. So we'll have your pregame show for the Cubs and the White Sox, and we'll let the fans talk, which we're going to do right now at 312-332-3776. Tom in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, it is morning. My days are already crazy.
I hear you.
Here's kind of my thought process is I'm not looking at evaluating anybody on the Bulls the last year and a half because all I know is when I worked for a complete jerk boss like Jim Boylan, I was unmotivated coming to work. I didn't care. I didn't have any drive. I didn't have no energy, no anything. And I understand they're professional athletes, but they're also human. So if you hate your job and you hate your management team, I don't think that we can rationally look and say, okay, this guy's this, and this guy's this, and this guy's this, because I just don't think we've seen the best of any of them.
Amen.
I know for a fact an athlete, an unmotivated athlete, is not going to produce great. That's for sure.
Good call, Tom.
And bad habits, get developed in losing situations. And then we've all been there. I think everyone's had a job where you literally wake up and say, I don't want to go to work today because it wasn't fulfilling on any level. So I'm not judging Zach LaVine's career or Lauri Markkanen. I mean, someone's got to fix Lauri Markkanen like ASAP before you even begin to envision playoff teams, for the Bulls, because they can't change everything overnight. So you got to get him up and running with Zach LaVine and see where it's going. But I'm with him. I mean, Zach LaVine in a winning situation is going to help you out. In a losing situation, some of the selfishness may come to the surface more than you'd like to see.
You know, Brian, and you make such a great point with this, because if you look at the roster, like the problem with Markkanen is you can look at the high side and the ceiling for Markkanen and suggest he could be a really good player in the league. The problem is guys at his same age, same point in development, they're popping, right? Like, guys in his draft, you know, on other teams are legitimate players, and that's the concern.
It's Mitch Trubisky.
Yes. I mean,
you know, you know, you can sit here and keep selling hope and promise and you know, ceilings and everything else. The professional sports world, they don't, it doesn't work like that anymore. I mean, guys are getting career-making, defining contracts while you're still trying to believe that the guy you drafted, everyone thought was a steal in the draft, is now absolutely going in the wrong direction. So, you know, youth is about one or two seasons in any sport right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Mark in Washington, D.C., talking Bulls with Blecken Hanley here in for Cap. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good, man. What do you think of this?
Well, I'm a stats nerd, and I've always been a stats nerd in all the professional sports that I've followed. And so, you know, when it comes to the NBA, I've always had, ever since I've started just looking at analytics, I've always had this sort of theory that the best NBA teams have two things. One, they have two players that can get them day in and day out 50 points a game. If you have two players that can get you around 50 points a game, you will have a great team. And you see in games where, you know, let's take like the Lakers, for example, LeBron James comes out and he only puts up, you know, 14 points in a night. He just has a bad night. And he combined with, you know, whatever other player on the Lakers is combining with him to get those 50 points, he doesn't contribute, the Lakers lose that night. And any other team, it's the same way. So you look at a team, you know, like the Celtics, they don't have two scorers that get them 50, but they have three scorers that get them 60, you know? I kind of agree with you, Black, and also with the caller that called in a few minutes ago. Zach LaVine, the Bulls are not a good team because Zach LaVine is the number one. I agree with that because Zach LaVine cannot get them enough points as the number one. He's just not a good enough number one. He's not getting them 30. He's getting them 20. But at the same time as well, there's not another person on the team that gets them to 50. And the other point I wanted to make is that the fill-in for Jim Boylan has to be a young coach that relates to these guys. You're seeing around professional sports everywhere. As the professional athlete, it becomes more and more in the millennial generation. You're seeing that the young coaches are the ones that get the most out of guys. I mean, think about it. We watched the Cubs win a World Series with Joe Maddon because it was fresh and it was new and he brought new ideas and everything else. And then they just started plateauing and then sinking. And then they bring in a young, you know, coach, David Ross, and all of a sudden they're 13-3. But it's not just the Cubs. I mean, it's other professional teams too.
Yeah, when we get the point, Mark, we appreciate the phone call. Brian, I would kind of suggest the opposite way. I think the Bulls need an experienced head coach who has, yes, maybe he is not necessarily young, but he has the relationships with these young players. And I think that's why you see names of former players on the list being suggested, like Darvin Ham or like Adrian Griffin. These guys are former players. They have relationships with today's stars.
Yeah, and look, when you bring up the Cubs too, Chris, John Lester and David Ross set the tone in the clubhouse with Joe Maddon more so than Joe Maddon, likely. I mean, from everything we look at the rearview mirror. And now Anthony Rizzo, who, by the way, was, you know, best pals with David Ross as players, right? I mean, with this dynamic, the old backup catcher and the young up-and-coming star were palling around together on the road. You know, it wouldn't have been an obvious choice. I mean, you wouldn't say those two guys would be that close, but